From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
I'm Adam Cano, and joining me today is Mark Scheff Jr. He is the 119th president of the National Press Club and a financial reporter for CQ Roll Call. Mark, welcome to Update One.
Thank you, Adam. I'm a big fan and a loyal listener, and it's great to be a guest.
Oh, it's good when the boss is a big fan. We appreciate that. For those of you who don't know you and the work you've done inside and outside journalism, give us a little taste.
There are two main categories of membership here at the club, journalist members and communicator members, and I have spent a substantial amount of my career in each. I became a club member in 2005 after I had moved to the journalism side of the ecosystem. But in the 13 years prior to that, I was a communicator. I came to Washington in April of 1992 to work for then-Senator Richard Lugar of Indiana. I joined his press office then and became press secretary in 1995, and then went on to become director of external relations at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. So that was 92 through 2005, those two jobs. And when I was at CSIS, I did quite a bit of freelance writing for an Indiana political newsletter called Howie Politics Indiana, which helped me make the transition to journalism in 2005 when I joined a trade magazine published by Crane Communications called Workforce Management. And since then, I've been on the journalism side. And now I am the financial services reporter at CQ Roll Call.
Awesome. Well, before we talk about your goals as president of the National Press Club this year, let's begin with the club itself. What should members and others know about the club currently and its operations?
The club has come out of COVID now, I think, pretty well. We are at a level of activity that's not quite at the pre-COVID level, but certainly is vibrant. That's not to say that we're thriving as much as we did pre-COVID, but we've got a strong roster of events most months, and we're coming close to budget most of the time. So I think financially we're doing pretty well, although there are still challenges. And in terms of the club programming for members, I believe we're as strong as ever in terms of the newsmakers that we host and all of the work that we're doing at the National Press Club Journalism Institute and the daily community that we offer. I think we're as strong as ever.
Absolutely. You touched on a few themes in your inauguration speech. Not surprisingly, one of those is press freedom. The need is clear, and there is much work to be done. So what's the plan for this year?
Our press freedom efforts are being led by the National Press Club Journalism Institute. Our Press Freedom Center had been a standalone LLC, but we've moved that into the center. That's a change on the organizational chart, but the Press Freedom Center still exists, and it's completely within the Journalism Institute, which means that Mike Balsamo, the president of the Institute this year, and Beth Francesco, the executive director of the Institute, are providing leadership for our press freedom efforts. And of course, I'm deeply involved as well, as every president is. You know, that's one thing. When you become president of the press club, you don't have to agonize over your top priority. It's the same for each president, and that is to promote press freedom.
Absolutely.
And that's particularly important this year when there are so many challenges internationally and domestically. Sometimes it seems as if it's a daily struggle to defend the ability of journalists to do their jobs without retaliation or intimidation. And we're certainly doing that through the efforts of the Institute. I'm proud of everything that we've been able to accomplish so far this year, which we can talk about in a little more detail.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You also talked in your speech about finding new ways to help journalists, including mm-hmm. those who are between newsroom jobs. So, you know, what's the club doing in that regard?
Right. We have several resources that are available to reporters. Back when the Washington Post did that massive layoff in February, we offered a 3-month guest memberships to reporters who've been laid off this calendar year. That was successful right out of the gate. I believe 140 or 150 laid off journalists took us up on that offer, not only from the Post, but from other publications, including my own CQ Roll Call. A couple of my CQ Roll Call colleagues have become guest members. And in fact, those folks who were laid off at the beginning of the year and took the guest membership all had the opportunity to attend the Career Day on March 20th as members, and that provided a whole day of panels about job hunting and resume writing and interview skills, and panels about the future of the profession to sort of figure out how to, when you get back in, where to plug in. So there was Career Day. But then in an ongoing way, we offer to not only members, but non-members, to any journalist out there, opportunities such as career office hours that the Institute sponsors, where you can sign up and participate in a 1-hour program with someone who can help you through your particular challenges right at the moment, whether it's looking for a new job or trying to position yourself for another job, even if you have one. We also do skills training at the Institute.
This is also a social organization, right? One that Absolutely. Has its own member pub and bar and so forth. So anything you want to say more about kind of just the social interaction of members, whether it's through the teams or more ad hoc?
Right. Absolutely. That is something that I want to that I should have emphasized from the top is the community that we have here at the club. In fact, that's the strongest aspect of the club, particularly for journalists who are going through a difficult time in their careers, is we offer a supportive community of fellow journalists and communicators that they can become a part of and feel as if they're in this with others. They have an opportunity to become to get to know and become friends with people who are going through the same struggles as they are and enjoying the same achievements and dealing with the same challenges. And you can find that community in my favorite club staple, which is Taco Night every Friday up in the Reliable Source. But you can also find it in our community nights at the Reliable Source, in our events that we sponsor, like Pub Quiz, for instance, on the second Thursday of each month, in our newsmaker programs, where we bring newsmaking principles into the club for events. You can attend those and, of course, cover them. But that's also a place to meet others who are similar to you in terms of their career track and aspirations. So we have all kinds of opportunities for people to become part of this community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Getting back onto the topic of press freedom, you put out a statement on April 28th in response to an appeals court ruling that allows the Pentagon to continue to restrict access by journalists. On this podcast, we've spoken to Aaron Mehta on behalf of the Pentagon Press Association, as well as WTOP's national security correspondent, J.J. Green. But remind our listeners what's at stake and what you said in that statement.
What's at stake is the ability of journalists to cover the Pentagon independently at a time where we, meaning the American public, needs unfettered information about what our military and national security operations are doing. We're at war with Iran, and there's never been a more important time for independent journalists to cover the Pentagon in the way that serves their readers, viewers, and listeners the best. And the only way to ensure that the Pentagon is being covered to the extent and to the depth that benefits the public, that benefits those readers, viewers, and listeners, is for reporters to be able to operate there with some degree of freedom, with some degree of ability to find sources, to develop sources, to uncover information that will help the public understand what's happening. And then that doesn't occur when the Pentagon dictates that reporters can only write about news, and I say that with air quotes, news that the Pentagon itself offers. And it can't happen when reporters are escorted in the building. Reporters don't have the full run of the building, but there had been in the journalism corridor and opportunities for some freedom of movement, and now that's being taken away as well.
I've been in the Pentagon, and as Aaron Mehta from the Pentagon Press Association and also editor-in-chief of Breaking Defense noted, the access that these reporters, who of course are credentialed, you know, had was no different than what a janitor has in the building, right? So, I mean, this is you know, in consistent with doing their job.
Right.
And it wasn't like they were, you know, out doing something that was completely beyond the realm of what would be reasonably expected.
Exactly. But yet now that has also been restricted to, and you have to be escorted everywhere you go. You can't do your job as a journalist if you're being escorted. And that's really what this all comes down to is journalists should have the ability to do their jobs in an unfettered way without fear of intimidation or retaliation. And it's important because journalism is a job that is actually protected in the Constitution.
Right. You've been through this industry in quite a number of forms, as you said, both on the communicator side and on the journalist side. I'm curious as to sort of what evolution you've seen in the coverage and the way news in this town works, especially on the financial beat between journalists and their sources.
One thing that has definitely changed over the last 34 years is that since I got here 34 years ago, is that any news organization that wants to be a wire service can be a wire service whenever it chooses, simply by posting a daily story on the internet, and boom, you've moved it perhaps as fast as AP or Reuters. This is the thing that is the biggest change from when I got here, is that everybody can be a wire service whenever they want to be, and that changes everything. That changes the need for immediacy. That changes the pressure for getting out there first. That also changes relationships with sources who are now more reluctant to just pick up the phone and talk. They want to set up these very sort of stilted Teams interviews sometimes, and they want to start on background, and then, you know, if you want to quote something, run it by me. That drives me nuts. Sources have become much more, I don't want to say paranoid, that's too strong a word, but they've become much more guarded. And I think that that's partly because we're in this atmosphere now where everything is immediate. It's just bang, bang. You get it right out there. And there's less time to sort of gather news and be thoughtful. And so we're in a position where everybody's trying to manage their own quotes, and reporters are trying to get the news out there immediately. And it's created a lot of pressure and changed a lot of relationships.
Last question. 2026, of course, is a midterm election year, possibly one of the most consequential in recent history. What are your plans for the club in regard to the midterm elections, and what should individual members do, whether they're journalists or communicators or just concerned citizens?
Well, we're trying to get as many lawmakers and administration officials as we can to come to the club to speak at newsmaker events and to tell us what their plans are for the campaign and what they think the most important issues are for the voters to think about. We've had Senator Elizabeth Warren here and Congressman Ro Khanna and others, the mayor of Chicago, who talked about the ICE crackdown in that city. We want to be a forum where reporters can have access to these newsmakers and ask questions about the election and find out something for their audience that can really make a difference in how voters make their decisions in November. So we're going to keep trying to get Republicans and Democrats to come to the club and to be as even-handed and vibrant a place where news happens as we can be.
Mark, thank you so much.
Adam, thank you.
Mark Scheff is the 119th president of the National Press Club. For Update One in Washington, I'm Adam Cano.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.